Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. So with me in Winthrop Studios is Adam Koons. Hi, Adam. Good morning.
And good morning.
Our production assistant, Amy Anderson. Amy, how are you? And I'm Greg Hahn, President, Winthrop Capital Management. Oh, my goodness. What a week. Spring is here. So we got that to celebrate.
We do.
You got a lot on your plate. Let me cover the economy, and then we can talk about what's going on in the capital markets. It is going to get interesting. So here's where we're at. So all the economic numbers that we're looking at are really confirming that this recovery that we thought would accelerate in the second half is already accelerating. So we're seeing it really come through at the end of the first quarter, heading into the second quarter. So manufacturing, the PMI numbers last week were really strong. Mm-hmm. The employment numbers are coming in really strong. Now, the consumer in February looked like it may have tailed off, but we got a real strong number in January because of the stimulus. We expect a strong number in March and a strong number in April because of the stimulus. So, you know, whenever you pour gasoline on a fire, it just gets flames, right? So whenever you put money into a market, it is really a backstop for valuations. So we expect to see continued excessive valuations in the equity market, and it really provides kind of a blanket of support. That doesn't mean markets can't go down, and we're about to talk about that. But it really provides some support in a market that's already extended. At the same time, we've got rising interest rates. So, Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about interest rates, and then we'll come back and talk about China.
Okay. Yeah. So rates are still high, I guess, relative to 6 months ago or so. But they did come down just a bit last week, actually 10 basis points week over week to 160 on the 10-year. And what you're really seeing is predominantly all the sellings happening overnight during the Japanese session. So it's interesting that you're seeing a flight out of U.S. Treasuries with rates going up when JGBs continue to be negative all the way up 10 years. But that is what's happening. And then kind of once we start the U.S. session, they just kind of stay still. So rates, yeah, still year over year are higher by quite a bit. We've seen a move up in rates about 50 basis points over the last 3 months.
And new issues on corporate, new issue corporates are really strong.
Really strong. To a degree, and we'll get into this a little bit, into the details. Two deals that came last week actually post-allocation were canceled, and we'll get into why in a minute. But Oracle was the big issuer last week, right after they were downgraded to BBB. So you're seeing bonds, they came new issue about 40 basis points wider than where they were trading when they were, you know, a single A credit. You also saw downgrades in Exxon, Shell, Chevron. So all the big conglomerate type energy companies were downgraded one notch, but still stayed in that A range. But yeah, issuance is strong. Like I said, two deals got canceled last week. One was Jackson National, post allocation, post bonds trading in the grays.
Really?
Because two executives came out right after the issuance saying that they had some information about the spinoff.
Okay.
So they pulled the deal. And then Nomura came last week with bonds. And they are now today canceling that. Today's settlement date. But because of the news around everything with Archegos Capital and the $2 billion write-off they're going to have to take due to that, they are pulling back the bonds.
And we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
So
it's all tied together.
Yeah. When you peel back the onion, really investing is about digging deep, right? So you see what's on the surface, you read what's in the financial press. One of the things that we've been reading about in the financial press is China, right? So there's a couple things going on with China, but then when you start to really dig down deeper, there's more going on that we're finding out, which kind of either confirms the investment strategy or allows us to shift tactically. But let's talk about China right now. And then we'll segue into the family office issue.
Though. Sure.
So over the last 2 weeks, Biden's team has met with Chinese delegates to address all of those issues, including human rights and carbon and trade. And what as we expected, nothing really we didn't see really anything that really came out of it. And it's really just two administrations digging in and saying, here's what we stand for, we think. So, but what one of the unusual things that happened, and not unusual actually, but interesting things, is that any reference to H&M inside of China has pretty much been obliterated because of the Swedish retail company's reference 6 months ago to not buying cotton products out of the what's the name of that region? It's a Chinese region. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize, guys. But the real point is the Xinjiang region. I'm sure I mispronounced that. But due to forced labor in the manufacturing of cotton. And so Sweden spoke out about it. China basically removed all references to H&M on any of its internet searches, any of its apps, even Uber. If you can't like find if you told your driver, drop me off at the H&M store, there was no reference to it. And so that's in retaliation to their comments, which were made 6 months ago.
Right.
So this is this form of authoritarian capitalism that we talk about, the difference between Western democracy and Western capitalism with the central state-controlled form of capitalism. And then part of this is the SEC has reiterated their initiative to make all Chinese companies trading on U.S. exchanges, all financial audits open to our audit accounting regulators, which China has not allowed. So it's basically saying if you don't do it, you're going to be delisted. And I think they said they have 3 years to comply. So we've seen Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent trading significantly lower this year and believed in a large part that it was a combination, even though Tencent had great earnings last week, mm-hmm. but a combination of the Chinese crackdown on internet companies and the SEC's threat. But there's more to the story, yeah. Adam.
There is. And obviously there's this rotation out of names like that anyway. Growth names have lagged. But the story last week was really around the unwind of the family office Archegos, which is Bill Wang from Tiger Management. And if you're familiar with him, he was caught with insider trading a long, long time ago, started this family office. And for himself, and the size of the family office is right around $6.5 billion is the value of it. And he is a heavy Asian Chinese investor, and apparently was using a lot of leverage, a lot of derivatives. Hmm. So one of the ways to get around 13F filings is if you use derivatives, because those don't have to actually be filed. Also, the different counterparties, prime brokers don't really communicate with one another. So effectively, you can build a position with different counterparties and they don't really know how much you have on the books.
So in other words, that the position can be expressed, even though it's not held in stock long.
Yep.
That can be counted by all of the custodians. It can be expressed through derivatives. That is a little bit less transparent.
Exactly. And it can grow. So that's what we saw last week and over the weekend. Goldman Sachs did a block trade yesterday, which is very unusual to do that after hours over the weekend of $2 billion. But Nomura last week, as we just talked about, the $2 billion write-off was them unwinding positions in Tencent and Baidu. So last week, Tencent was down 30% due to this unwind. And so the total right now is that what's come out is $30 billion worth of stock has been sold due to this. So just keep in mind the size of the family office is only $6 billion, but he had expressed leverage. So he had $30 billion worth of stocks that he had positions in that are obviously down because things like Viacom, Tencent, Baidu are down just naturally. And so he's basically has a massive margin call that's putting pressure on all of these stocks. So we've got a little bit of a technical issue here on why some of these stocks are down so much, but yeah. It's kind of intertwined in a lot of the different pieces of the capital market. So interesting to see that a bond issuance has to be called back because of an issuance like this.
Yeah. And then so in Winthrop's work, some of these companies are held in our portfolios. We think they're great companies. And this is something that we're working through right now. But we our overall thesis is we are not betting against China, even though there's two systems, two forms of capitalism out in the world today. Just generally, This is it's not a large part of the portfolio, but we've targeted specifically for this reason. So
yep.
Long term, we expect that this will work itself out. And I think looking at how China is building out its form of capitalism, access to exchanges is important. So the U.S. exchanges are the largest and most
They won't be taken seriously.
And I would expect that they'll figure it out. Right?
They'll
figure it out. We got 3 years. It's going to be an interesting 3 years. What's on the docket this week, Adam?
So just continuing in our models is this rotation where you see equal weight, large cap continuing to outperform the S&P 500, but it is catching up a little bit. So on a one-month basis, equal weight's up 6%, the S&P's up 4%. But when you look at tech per se, it's basically flat year over year. So continuing to monitor that rotation and then looking at China. So the KWEB, KWEB ETF that we use to express our China exposure is down 15% just in the last 30 days. So we're looking to add to that position there. We kind of started small. And just overall, the emerging market sector has been negative so far in the last several weeks. And that's really driven by kind of what we're talking about, the rotation. You're seeing a stronger U.S. dollar. And with higher rates, that's really not a good mix for emerging markets. So just monitoring our exposure there and seeing, you know, any opportunities to add.
Yep. So it's and then we are kind of in that quiet period heading into earnings. There's really we're through the whole earnings season. Earnings generally were exceeded expectations again, right? So we've got the stimulus checks in people's hands now over the last 2 weeks. So the consumer sector we expect is going to be pretty strong. The rotation out of the tech into the what I think generally are being called cyclicals, but I would really think COVID affected industries. That's been strong, so it's gonna be an interesting quarter just from that rotation standpoint. So with that, anything else on your plate?
Nothing here.
Why don't we end it here, guys? Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you through the week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.